Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Are we a people of faith?
Yes, we are.
Are we a people of repentance and faith?
Yes.
Yes, amen. I would like to read a very well-known parable, the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son. It's very well-known. It starts in Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus speaks. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still on a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servant, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found." So they began to celebrate. It's a very encouraging parable, well known, speaks of God's grace, God's mercy, God's compassion, and God's love. As we sung before, as you said, Andrew, God is love, God is grace, merciful. I would like just to give a few thoughts to increase our faith in God the Father. He is the Father in heaven. He's our Father. He's the Father of every believer, men and women. And he wants to be known as the Father, not only as the judge, as the Savior, through which he is through Jesus, not only as a counselor, but also as a Father. It's strong. It's a strong word, to be fathered by God. We know also that he's the perfect Father. There is in him no flaw, no darkness. He's never wrong. He's always right. He's never been wrong. He will never be. So a father like that is comforting for everyone. And I would like also for us to get inspiration from God the Father to become a father for others, especially for men, because fatherhood is especially for men, is made for men more than for women. And it's Father's Day, so I will speak a bit more to men, but women, you can also get inspirations and also get to know God the Father, because he's also your father. Yes, the parable focuses on mercy and grace, foundational aspects of him, of God the Father, the two sides of his love, said the leader, Kingdom Faith leader. He said, love is mercy and grace. Obviously, the Father in this parable represents God. We have a glimpse of who he is and who he wants to be for us. And the Son is the sinful man, but it can also be the Christian man. Every one of us can sin sometimes, can get away sometimes. But also, without speaking of big sins and big trouble, every Christian man can ignore the aspects of God the Father and just come back to him and say, "Make me your servant." Obviously, in Scripture, we are servants, but we are not only servants, we are sons. So the son was coming back and was saying, "I'm not worthy of you anymore. I just want some food and just want a roof over my head, but make me your servant. Just give me food and that'd be enough." food and a roof, a place to sleep, and I'd be 10 times better than what I'm used to. But he wasn't expecting the father to see him coming, wait for him, expect him every day. And when he was turning up from very far, he wasn't expecting the father at all to come to him, and even less to hug him, forgive him, order his servants to prepare the best calf, the fattened calf that was for special occasions. He wasn't expecting that at all. He had faith. He had a lot of repentance. He had a small faith, faith to be called a servant again, but he never had faith to be called a son again. So important is the repentance, of course. We all come to repent for what we have done wrong, but also for what we haven't done right. We can repent for ignoring God as the Father, but we have to believe that He wants to be our Father, and He wants to make us His sons. However, a small faith, a little bit of faith that he had, drew him to God. He came with a little bit of faith, but he went to God, to the Father with that faith. So when we have little faith, imperfect faith, we can still go to the Father, and he will do much more than we expect. And I just want to give a few thoughts about faith. Faith for an open door. Faith for forgiveness. Faith for a second chance. Faith for redemption, restoration. Faith for a better place, better life. The father was far more willing to restore his lost son than the lost son was willing or even believing he could be. Whatever a Christian do wrong, God is willing and able to restore him or her back to his position through what Jesus has done for us. It's always Jesus, never us. That's what he has done. It's possible to see ourselves as servants, which we are, rather than sons who inherit the fullness of the Father and serve him, enjoying his presence. We're still servants, but we're servants and sons. We serve as sons, not only as just servants. It's also possible to know the Father in a partial way, in an incomplete way, and ignore the depth of His mercy, His grace, His goodness, His desire to see the best worked out in our lives. And I would like to finish with what's our part. So when we know God the Father, what can we do then? Natural fathers will get inspiration from the Father in heaven. We can, through the Holy Spirit living in us, and through Jesus showing us the way, develop the same kind of love, mercy, compassion, goodness towards other people, towards younger people, towards lost people, towards everybody in the church. We saw these qualities of love, mercy, grace in Jesus, and it is reproduced by us, in us, by the Holy Spirit, forming Christ in us. Our calling is to encourage, to exhort, to give hope, to give faith, to build up people, to give second chances, and even third chances, and more. To show interest, to seek the highest good. That's what God does with us. So we are to do it with others, because we have received the power to do that through the Holy Spirit. But it is also pointing to God. Jesus said, do not call anybody your spiritual father. There is only one Father, and He is in heaven. So I would say we are called to not to be spiritual fathers to anybody else, but to be like spiritual big brothers, bringing people to know Him, not to know how good we are, because we're not. He is good. He is in heaven. He's perfect. So the point is, bring people with your experience, with what God has made in you, bring them, okay, to see it's possible for a man to be like that. But most important is that you get the strength from Him, because that's where it comes from. He's the perfect Father, not me. He sees everything, not me. He forgives, not me. I can't forgive on behalf of God. He knows all your needs, not me. So it's pointing to God, pointing to the Father, pointing to Christ. He gives good gifts to those who ask Him, not me. I can't give you a lot, really. He's from heaven, from above, and He reigns. Not me, not you, not Pastor Jonathan, not anybody or the elders. It's Him. We point to Him. So we are big brothers. We're not spiritual fathers. We can be inspirational, but he is the good father in heaven. The focus is on God, not on me. Point people to Jesus, his cross, his blood, his victory. Through which they will get to know their Father in heaven, meet with him, talk to him, get transformed by his love, by his grace, mercy, power, holiness. And then they will be able to get others to know him. That way we will see fatherless people become influential people for others, father figures, role models. And we will see godless people know their God in a deep personal way. Amen.
Monsieur and Madame, and that's the limit of my French, you must be very proud of your son. You're a translator still? Oui, yeah. Your father in heaven is very proud of you for the way you have parented him.
Yes,
that's
true.
Amen. Thank you. Good. Robert, come on, give Robert a big hand.
Well, when Pastor Jonathan asked me to talk about, asked you to talk about Father, a couple of things came into my mind straight away. One which was, really my salvation, really. I'll go on that one. Another one was the scripture that Leon started with first about the prodigal father, or prodigal son, rather. I'll go on to that later. But one thing I say, when I first came saved, really, God suddenly, when I come to the end of myself and the things I could do, God suddenly showed me how he loved me. He accepted me and he loved me. He's poured out his love upon me. Then over the next few weeks, he started showing me where he'd been part of my life, where he'd nudged that thing, done that thing happen, made that work. And that sort of summed up a lot of what God's like. He's showing his love and what a father's like. And really, we're sort of to show, it's like Lillian saying, we're to show really how God's father is. And it's not just, I'm just talking to fathers today, but I'm talking to all of us, how we can show being a father, how show that God's love or the father's love to other people, to people that don't know him. So I've got some various things along the way. I did have a number of different thoughts of things. So some of the father is providing shelter, stability, law. God did that. He put me in a place. He put me in a family. He gave me a shelter, gave me stability. When I first became Christian, again, tried to do that for children. A sense of belongingness, a sense of family, a sense of intimacy, relationship with God. Again, he shows that. That's his love. He's the role model to go for. He shows that love for us to do and what we can do for our own children. Then, as he gets older, as the children get older, they say the next level of thing is building esteem, building a sense of achievement, responsibility, and independence. Those are just things like loving people, seeing potential in people, helping them. See what there's us. That's right, my son's. One of my sons here, my youngest son's here as well today. I mean, just things, just doing with him, just remember just spending time with him sometimes, just sitting on my lap playing PlayStation. He's now doing games industry now. I'm going to embarrass him. He's now doing a degree course in games design. So some of the things you've been putting have an effect. And I also got blessed the other day. My middle son, he went through his teens and he went out with a gang, wanted to be around friends, always sort of wanted to be with friendship rather than with us a bit so much. But just the other day he said that he really appreciates the fact the stability we gave him, the fact that we're there. So little things you do as a father, as a parent, little things you do can have such a big impact on children. Those seeds you sow, like just Leon mentioned about seeds you sow, things you say, kind words you give, that love, that hug, that tenderness, all things. And so that's also happened to what we can do for the church, for the non-church at the moment, those that don't know God. Those are all the things we can do. Ultimately, our whole game at the end of it is to bring independence and bring up our children. They'll surprise you in the things they do. But that's where the parable of the prodigal son comes through, and it's almost a return to the back beginning. Whereas even when they do different things, you had that father there that was there waiting. You bet he prayed because he was there waiting, expectant. You bet he had hope, expecting for him to come back to the Lord, come back to him, come back to the family. Those are things that we can put in. Those are things behind the scenes that you sow and you do. You're always looking out for your children, always finding things to do, always praying, always looking for things you can do. That's kind of like, that's all the love of God all over. So as Leon goes through his childhood and Leon and Stell, things you've got to have as a father is courage, steadfastness. And just trying to teach them just about love and about life, having a desire, having a love of life. So these are just some of the thoughts, random thoughts, call them what you like, of some of the things about being a father is and how we can still be a father to the fatherless at the moment.
It's good, mate.
Wonderful. Richard, where's Richard? Richard, here he comes. Come on, Richard.
Thank you. Well, what can we say? It seems to have fallen to me to bring this down a bit more. I mean, to bring this along a little bit more. I thought, just as I was hearing about the prodigal son there, I'll just go back to that for a moment, and I was thinking about who was the most unhappy, you know, when the son returned. And to me, it would be the fatted calf. I'll tell you, he wouldn't be happy at all, would he? He'd come back. But I thought it was just only fair that I should bring some dad jokes into the proceedings, as dad jokes are always the best. Now, the only proviso for a dad joke is at the end of it, everybody goes, "Dad." So here are a few for you. A panda walks into a bar and says to the bartender, "I'll have a scotch and Coke, thank you." "Sure thing," the bartender replies and asks, "but what about the big paws?" I said, "No, I was born with them." A man was caught stealing in a supermarket today whilst balancing on the shoulders of a couple of vampires. He was charged with 2 counts of shoplifting. Anyway. What did the mountain climber name his son? Cliff. Oh, boy. Funnily enough, I was thinking of moving to Moscow the other day, but I tell you, there's no point in rushing into it. Oh, boy. I love these. You know, milk is the fastest liquid on the earth. It's pasteurised in no time. Oh. Oh, boy. I thought that was great. I've just got a few thoughts. Obviously, I have most of my family here today, and they will kind of put you right if anything I say is not true. I was thinking about this over the week, obviously, and then I don't think there is any greater privilege, to be honest, than being a father. Privilege, responsibility, scariness. I remember the first day that Sharon came out of hospital. We got home and we had this little toddy, 5 pound, 2 ounce, £5.2. This thing you could put inside a little cup. and then realizing that for the rest of my life I was responsible for that. Because you're never not responsible for that. And to be honest, the moment they leave home, you're more responsible for that. And even some cases, they come back home and you enjoy their presence again. And you enjoy them being around and show them how they can learn to be independent and stand on their own two feet. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And we're having a great time at the moment, having Daniel back, Lily and Becca. So what is the primary role of a father? Now, could someone just, Andrea, could you just nip through to Becca and ask her to come through, please? Yeah. We've just got a little picture, if you like, I believe, what God is doing and what God wants to do. Estelle, can you just come out here, please? Right. Harry, can you just come and stand out here?
Come on, Harry.
It could have been George. I wouldn't have known the difference. At least, yes. It is. It is. Can you just stand there? Right. Lily, can you just stand there? Oh, come on. Come with Mum. You'll do it for Papa. Or as, you do it for Papa, won't you? As Lily calls me, great farter. Papa. Dan, you knew that was going to happen, didn't you? Okay. The only one chance to pick on your son. Just stand there. Can you hold hands? Just hold the hand. Just hold a hand. Lily will do. She's holding a hand there. And then hold a hand. This one. This is the hand we need.
Sorry.
Now you're just babysitter. You're just mum. Andrew, can you stand there? Jonathan, can you stand there?
Well, I believe that this is kind of a progression that fathers have. Not only that.
Yeah.
Is what God wants fathers to do. God wants fathers, the role of a father is to take with God that child in their hands and to lead it along, but all the time the father has one hand in the father's hand. And we've been, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of words about hands and in hands and changing of hands. Your hand in my hand, but the world in my hand. About hands. The hands are important. And the father's hands are important. And God puts you in his hand and protects you. And he protects you in that environment with a father. Now, you don't have to be.
Thank you. Don't need that. You can go and sit down now. But that was just I believe the Lord was saying to us, to me earlier, that this progression from here, that little hand has to go into another hand, and then into another hand, and into another hand, overseen by the Father. Father in heaven, but also a natural Father. And that's part of our role, to build up and encourage. And each time that child moves along from one place to another, it is going higher and higher, taking on more and more responsibility, more and more life skills, more and more things that it needs to know in order to be able to get to a certain place here and then live its life with God for itself and for others. So Jesus showed us how to do that. And one thing that Jesus really did when he was on this earth, because if we want a role model, then that is Jesus. Jesus was the role model of the Father. Everything he did, he said, I do it because the Father shows me. So whatever's happening in heaven, whatever the Father is doing, Jesus was doing on earth and showing us exactly what was going on. And everything that Jesus did was all about this. It was all about eye contact, touching, and caring, and really showing that I love you. not superficial, not just a sense of, okay, this is a duty or something that I've got to do. Every time God was around people through Jesus, every time Jesus was there talking to people, he gave people space. He gave people permission. He gave people love. He gave them his full attention. There was nothing half-hearted about God. And I believe that that is what the role of a father does. He's so attentive to his children. Father does, we do. We take on that, we see what Jesus is doing, and we want our kids and other kids. So it's not just about whether you're a father now, whether you're a father later, or whether you don't become a father. Because you're a father always. When you were born, you are a father. You have a heart of a father, and you can father other children, other people. You may never be a father. That doesn't make you any less important. It doesn't mean that you have no role. It doesn't mean that what you were born for, you'll never fulfill. You have the opportunity to father other children. And not just children. All through life, people are being fathered. And it's all about us men taking on responsibility to see other men, other children, other people fathered. So we take responsibility for that. Jesus did. When Jesus was on the earth, he was always interested in people's lives. And he wanted to take them from one stage to the next. He was never happy to leave somebody where they were. That's why I always ask them, what do you want? What do you want? What can I give you? What are you asking me for? What can I change? Age, for me, age has no bearing to being a father. I was a father at 21. I was literally, had no idea, as you do, no idea as to what a father should do, what a father should be. But out of you comes something that is deep within you, that life, and you grow into being a father. And then you take other people on as yourself. And over the years, I've had many fathers. Jonathan, he's a father to me. Andrew, he's a father to me. They're all shaping the way I am. They're all speaking into me. They all give me their time. They give me their energy, their passion. And the one thing they're always saying to me is, you can do it. You can do it. You are able. This is for you. Come on. Not down here, but every time you're moving up, it's taking you up to a new level. You can do it. You can achieve it. It's not Nike's word. It's God's word. Do it. That's what he's saying. You're a father, you be a father. You know, it's in you. You can do it. So, I've just put down a few little words, and it was kind of like to raise up, literally lift up higher with hands. Literally taking people higher with hands. So never has society needed fathers more than today. I believe that it's a call from God on us as men to stand and to father, because this nation needs to see men standing with God, standing for God, standing in God, and saying, I'm taking my responsibility, and I want to see people who've maybe never had a father, maybe had a situation that their father left, maybe had a situation where their father decided, I don't want to father you, and you'll have to be fathered by someone else, or you'll just have to fend for yourself. All the situations that happen in the world. But we are called with a mandate from God to stand as fathers, to stand as men, and encourage other men and boys and children. And it's not just men. I said to Sharon that I really wanted to speak outside the box today. and really speak about women. Because the role of a woman is so important to encourage your men to be the man that he needs to be. And I believe that's what God is kind of showing me, is that we need awesome women behind us. And it's the saying, isn't it? Behind every great man, there's a greater woman. But there's also an awesome God who, as a couple, can take you on. You don't just have to be a man to father. You just have to love people. You just have to want to see the best in them. And I've come across some awesome people who have taken me on to different places. And also it's such an encouragement when people see in you things that you can't see yourself and want that best for you. And then they invest themselves in you so much to take you on because they know it's there. They can see it. They want it to move forward. And they're there for you. Always. I've had some fantastic men of God in my life who have shaped the way I am, what I am. You can be a judge of how that kind of turned out. Don't base that on the jokes. They're not all... So how we grow, what we do, and Jesus was very good at this. Jesus would come alongside people and he would say, what's the problem? What's the issue? Okay, just watch me for a minute. This is how it happens. Okay, like we do at work with our apprentices, watch us. See how we do it. Then you have a go. And I'll watch it a bit and just see how you do it. No, I'll do it. Can you see how that goes? Can you see how that's working? Now, you do it. And I can stand back and watch you. But that's not the progression. The progression is, Jesus says, look at that, that's good, yeah, you can do it. Okay, I can have a go. You are going to go, no, hold on a minute, that's not quite right. Okay, they're doing it. The next progression is, I'm then going to take somebody else on even further. So this person now is going to take somebody else on and father them and encourage them and build them up and strengthen them to say, yes, you can do it. Everything within you is possible. And Jesus was very good at showing that, demonstrating how that works. So we need to cultivate an atmosphere of it's possible in everyone. And I'm really thankful that I had a father. Difficult as it may seem, I have a father still, human father. And if this is on the tape, I won't say too much. But I also have a father that doesn't want anything to do with me. So I understand how that can hurt. I can understand how if you've never had a father, i.e., been brought up by a father, then I can sympathize with that and understand that. But the reason why I don't have a father now is not because of me. It's because my father was not prepared to stand up and be a father. The consequences of me losing my father is about him not standing up and saying, I'm the father. And I can do that, and I can take that role, instead of I'm going to advocate my position and hope that there's an easier route, and I don't have to take responsibility, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that, and hopefully that child will just kind of grow up and do what he wants and go and live his life. So that's not what God wants for our children, for our adults, for anyone. He wants you to be fathered. So the Lord kind of showed me very early on that the only father, in a sense, I needed was him. You have to rely on him. You may have an earthly father, and they are wonderful. They are fantastic. So are your mothers. So are your brothers and your sisters. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the progression and him as Father and Lord and Saviour. So we just want to seal this. We want to seal this with communion. We want to seal it together and just lift up men and women today. Just because it's called Father's Day, we want to honour fathers every day of the week. We want to honour fathers every moment we can. And just because people call it a Father's Day today, doesn't make it any different from any other day. So we can honour everyone in this room. But we would like to do it slightly different. We would like to just have the communion at the front. Leon and Robert is going to come out. We're just going to stand here. And we're just going to let you take communion from us. We just want to bless you as you come. We want to give you a smile. We want to just say that you're valued. We want to encourage you. We want to build you up and say that you are so valuable. And also, we are available to be fathers to anyone who doesn't have a father. We want to be a father to you. All we need is your permission. All we need is your permission to take you on. And we can stand here and we can say we want the best for you. We want to invest the best in you. We've learnt lessons. And we want to help you to be the best person God can make you. And people like Philip, I've spent a few hours with Philip and Graham and other people maybe who aren't here, Andrew, Jonathan, and the rest of the guys, Colin. The wealth of fatherhood in them is amazing. The depth of love in them is amazing. Jamal, you guys, it just astounds me, the depth of love. So when you come up, please just come up and just receive from the Lord. But we're there for you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.